Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, is on the line to take a look at these numbers and talk a bit about what's happening in Chicago and around the globe as it pertains to commodity markets. Good morning to you, Wayne.
Well, good morning, Todd.
Well, the things that we probably ought to take up aren't really in the commodity markets directly. Still, they're in the outside markets. We're looking at the financials and the price of crude oil. What kinds of things have you been watching today?
You know, the Shanghai market was down 6% overnight, and that was a little bit heavy on things as we started out, you know, a sort of quiet session here in the overnight, Todd. You know, the crude is, it's been able to hold above $30 most of the morning, and we're back up around $31.08. That, of course, is adding a little bit of oomph to things in all the areas where the crude has been hurting the GDP from states like Texas and Louisiana. And North Dakota. Gold seems to be up. It's up $10. Silver's up 18 cents or $1.80. And, you know, we're looking at the cattle have seemed to have rebounded quite nicely after the pretty bearish cattle on feed report on Friday.
Yeah, I made note, and I saw this on my Twitter feed from Scott Irwin here on campus, a U of I agricultural economist who follows crude oil and ethanol and all those sorts of energy things, along with the commodity markets really closely. And he had simply retweeted this, so this came out of the Kuwait, that they were making plans for $25 a barrel, at least in their budgets for the nation. So that's probably a little bit of a bearish factor. We'll have to watch that over time and see what happens with it. Some of the other things we ought to take up, there's imports for China. However, they're a little bit different from what we have been expecting. There have been a lot of DDGs that have been going to China. That would be the extra product that comes from corn-based ethanol. But that seems to be on the wane. However, it's being replaced by bean meal, and I guess not always from the United States.
Well, you know, the bean meal has picked up. You know, they are trying to cut back on their corn reserves, trying to get some of that moved through. It's some pretty poor quality and like to get moved. They're trying to cut back very hard on their corn subsidies to quit having these great big inventories that they're having to hold and then watch go out of condition, and also cause that the DDGs are cheaper to buy because of their artificial price over there. China did buy 2 to 3 cargoes of Brazilian beans for March shipment overnight, and unfortunately that was a 43-cent discount per bushel to what the U.S. was offering to them.
This is not a good sign for at least the old crop in the marketplace. Turn your attention to new crop just a bit. Why is it that soft red and hard red winter wheat are a bit higher for the day?
Well, you know, we're going to have sort of a warm-up here over the next few days, and we're going to lose our snow cover in a lot of places. And, of course, there's no real freezing temperatures following this up, but with the snow cover gone, why, the wheat crop is much more vulnerable to, you know, that cold snap or that freeze. So that's what we're looking at there for a little bit of help in the wheat market today.
What are you hearing from around the rest of the United States? We aren't too far away from the beginning of the growing season, especially if we move into the deep south, the Delta region, into Texas. Are they set up for a good start to the growing season this year?
You know, we saw a lot more moisture fall across Texas and that this winter, and well, of course, most of the Midwest that way. So, you know, I think that they will be. I think that it's still going to be out there and looking, which crop am I going to plant? You know, what's the insurance price going to be? And we're looking at all those things closely. But, you know, the wheat done a good job. It cut back on its acres this year, you know, corn and beans. What are we going to see when it comes around time to actually plant those?
And sometimes we talk about acreage battles. I take it there's no need one for one of those this year for corn.
We battle for which acres set out or get put in CRP or battle whether they go into pasture or
the battle
like
to put
that.
Acres aside, right?
Yeah.
A low enough price to try to regain some price for corn and soybeans later in the year, maybe even wheat. Other things that farmers are asking you about, anything on old crop that they're concerned about?
Well, I think all of them are getting a little bit concerned. We've seen this push up here, but we can't seem to get to the levels the farmers are looking for. They'd all like $4 cash, maybe $9 cash on the beans. You know, we got some of those off on some good bases over here in Indiana, but you know, as you go west, why, those numbers just aren't there, and they are going to need some cash flow here soon for these bankers. So you know, it's a waiting game. Will the farm be able to outhold the processor when he needs the grain?
Who you think will win?
The processor.
That's always the case, isn't it? Or at least it seems to be.
It generally is. I mean, you know, basically along the way. But, you know, we do know and had heard that there's some of the ethanol plants that are having trouble buying some corn, and they aren't train stations, so they're having a little more rougher time because they can't just import a train from the West.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that has been happening, and we have watched this pretty closely, talked about it on Commodity Week last week with you, Basis, and how trains move out of the West towards the East and to fill those gaps. But ethanol plants that aren't on rail lines have a tough time, and even if they're on a rail line, it's usually set up to go out, and they don't have the unloading facility and or the storage capacity at the plant itself to take 100 cars, I suppose.
That's the case in a lot of things, is they aren't set up for 100 cars to come in at one time. But I think there are a lot of areas that do. I know that Linden could. I know that Lafayette can. And I know down in Cloverdale we can. So we're still keeping a fairly good basis. It has to stay but we can go up to the 30 over so that the trains would cost them to come in. So, but we're staying that 20 to 35 over for our corn basis around here because of that.
Well, we'll watch the marketplace and talk with you again this afternoon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Chuck.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. He will be back at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock this afternoon during the closing market report.